Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. This is going to be a ton of fun today. I have the opportunity of having two dear friends on the show with me, Josh Rhodes and Sam Hill. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having us, man.
I'm super excited. These guys love talking to friends from the South because they're super simple, but at the same time, rather, they're just crushing it. So both Sam and Josh have had the opportunity of being two Comma Club award winners. Josh also is one of our Dream Car award winners. So guys, the thing I like most is we're kind of trying to figure out what's the best thing to talk about. And I think as we're looking at, you know, Funnel Hacking Live is literally like 3 or 4 days away, stressed here in the office. These guys just basically come and say, you know what? It's all easy, guys. It's super simple. We have basically just two funnels, and out of those two funnels, we built multiple seven-figure businesses. So I thought, what a better way of just diving in and letting these guys really kind of explain to you how they are taking, they literally are the poster child or poster children of really being one funnel away. And that's kind of one of the things I want to talk to you guys about today and really let them kind of shed some of their light and their knowledge and their experience running multi-million dollar businesses on exactly how you literally can be one funnel away. And what they've done to simplify all that, they've got a business they run called Moneyline Workshop. They've had the opportunity of working in agencies. So these guys know what they're talking about. They're out there actually doing it, which is the part I love most, more than anything else, is I hate bringing people on who are just teaching, but they don't actually do. These guys are actually doing. So with that, guys, let's kind of dive right into it. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, that's great. I'll say this, that Sam plays an unbelievable role as the president of our businesses, and I get to be the Mickey Mouse CEO. So he's actually probably going to provide way more value than anybody else on the podcast today.
Sam, that's a tall order to fill, man. I hope you can deliver, Sam.
Yeah, so, you know, I think a big part of our experience thus far, you know, Josh and I have a pretty diverse background. Our story is kind of crazy. I came from corporate sales. I owned a home inspection franchise back in the day, and that's actually how Josh and I met. So our origin story is kind of funky.
He was my home inspector.
Yeah, like that's how we met, you know, 10 some odd years ago. And I think that when we kind of fell down this internet marketing online business rabbit hole, I think for a while, you know, you're looking, there's so much out there. There's so many different types of offers, types of funnels, types of niches. And I think for us, our breakthrough moment was when we doubled down on who we serve, what their pain point is, and how to distribute solutions that work to them. And I think clarity, having clarity on your offer, clarity on who you reach, what you do for them, and how to get that offer in front of them, was really our breakthrough thing. And you can really spend a lot of time trying to figure out the different tech components and how many steps you need and in your funnel. And I think for us, for a while, we kind of spun our wheels, like trying to figure out how fancy we needed to get. But once we got really, really simple and went deep on that one offer, things really started to happen for us. Anything you'd add to that, Josh?
No, we've had dot-com secrets and expert secrets at an arm's length the whole time as kind of our almanac, if you will. And we've really focused on the middle of the value ladder. I don't know if many of your guests have talked about the middle of the value ladder where the deliverables aren't too overwhelming, but the profit margins are just good enough to where you can really build a business there. And then now what we've done is we've, you know, built out the top and the bottom of our value ladders that's really helped us scale revenue. So we can obviously dive in. There's a lot of meat there I think you can dive into, but we'll let you be.
You know, Josh, I really wanted to kind of talk about that part there because I think too often people get so focused on, well, I'm going to start with a lead gen product first and I'm going to do this PDF and this PDF is going to lead to a membership site and the membership site is going to lead to a webinar. The webinar, and you just burn out. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough resources to really build that business. And I know we've talked a lot at different times about the middle of the value ladder as that starting point. If you don't mind, kind of expound on that as far as what actually is your middle of the value ladder and what did you guys start with first?
Yeah, yeah. Here's what's crazy. We don't have a webinar. We don't have any lead magnets. So it's like when you look at our sort of offer and our value ladder, a lot of people are like, when we do our Moneyline workshops, we're like, wait a minute, that's it? It's like, yeah, that's it. There's nothing else to show you. We went straight for that $2,000 to $5,000 ticket range and went straight from a Facebook ad to an actual phone call. And we use our indoctrination, our warm-up sequencing to sort of take the place of a webinar to an extent and show them that we're having a ton of success with our clients. And then we go right on that phone call and we've got a 4-point script that we use to close a 2 to 5K deal. And we sort of have built our business kind of backwards in some way. And Josh, like, chime in, but we started out with high ticket to create cash flow, to create ROI on our ad spend. And then, you know, now we've spent the last year or two going back and sort of backfilling with more of an agency MRR model. So it's kind of interesting because we talk to a lot of people in our Moneyline workshop that are trying to do agencies, right? Which is awesome. But they're trying to build up their client base enough with enough retainers every month, basically to, you know, hit their income target, which is totally cool and works. We sort of did it the opposite. We started out with, you know, training products at high ticket value, high gross margin. And then we've sort of now doubled back and we have both and we've built this sort of foundation, you know, after the fact. Josh, chime in on that.
Yeah, if you're listening to this podcast or interview and you're trying to make a run at this thing called business or entrepreneurship, and you don't yet have specificity on the potential customer avatar and what your offer is for them, the greatest way to get to that specificity is get on the phone, obviously, in which I know we're not the first person to tell, you know, to give that advice. But what's going to happen is it's going to take you out of an economical whirlpool that I think a lot of people get caught in, which is trying to sell $49 to $97 widgets, whatever that might be, and how they may be noble and excellent products, don't get me wrong, but the sheer economics and the principles of capitalism are going to keep you at bay and you're going to find yourself stuck. And so what we did is we looked out and said, okay, which potential prospects out there are in it for themselves and they have to eat what they kill. And they know that if they aren't killing, they're not eating. Okay, those people probably have some kind of bleeding neck pain that we can go try to solve and provide a tourniquet for. And then we said, okay, instead of charging $97 for the problem, let's just go charge $2,000 to $5,000. But here's where the guts come in. You got to have courage to leave a ton of money on the table at first. And when I mean a ton of money, a lot of potential $97 transactions or whatever small price point that you're wanting to start with because of maybe your self-esteem or imposter syndrome or whatever maybe you're dealing with. You've got to be cool with having a 5% or less global conversion rate on your sales calls, for example. And you've got to be okay leaving money, quote unquote, on the table. And then once you get to a place, like we didn't even have two offers until we were well into Two Comma Club land. We did Two Comma Club in 10 months, I believe, maybe a little less than that. And then it was probably 16 months before we introduced our second offer, period. And the second offer was an agency model. And now we get to it's funnel stacking to some extent or revenue model stacking to where we enjoy a little bit of both worlds. But we didn't try to enjoy that. And our profit margins were able to underwrite us because we just lived in the middle of that value ladder instead of trying to, you know, sell enough $97 widgets. Or we also had the knowledge or at least the awareness to not try to go sell. And maybe you can. But we didn't go start at a 25 or 50K contract value. We just kind of lived in that 2 to 5K world there in the middle of the value ladder, and it was scalable and it worked.
Well, I know that getting on the phone is a scary thing for a lot of people. And how did you guys overcome that fear of, again, you're going basically from a Facebook ad to a phone call application. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So what's your cost per dial or your DPL or what's your – How much did you spend in basically to get that phone to ring?
So I think you said something, Dave, you know, or you alluded to this, which is a lot of people don't understand, like, especially internet marketing can be a facade to some extent because you you don't think like a business owner right out of the gate. Internet marketing is so accessible, like online business is so accessible, but you're not necessarily understanding that there, you got to have dry gunpowder and capital. And one thing that we quickly established was the metric that you just asked for, which is in our world, cost per booking or cost per appointment. Okay. In our lingo, and we will average anywhere between $15 and $45, depending on the time of the day that Mark Zuckerberg and the other social media warlords decide the algorithm to operate. But anyway, once you know those numbers, you can pretty much push the brake or the gas pedal on the floorboard of your business is whenever you want to. And it gives you the control that a lot of people get. But then once you know those, they're kind of like deceiving lead metrics. Cause then you got to really know, well, how many of those phone calls do I need before I close deals, et cetera. So you got to start somewhere, and that cost per lead, cost per booking, those are great places to start.
Yeah, so if you're looking at it, go ahead, Sam.
No, I was going to say, you know, you're asking about getting on the phone, and you know, we have a sales script, you know, just like you've got a headline and a Facebook ad, and you've got a headline on a landing page. And, you know, like we just use sales scripts, and which sounds old fashioned, and it's really not all that sexy and exciting, but it works. And I think that's what enables you to have confidence, is because really at the end of the day, I think being simple in your offer and kind of what you do simplifies everything else, right? Yes. So when you go deep on one offer, it makes your traffic simpler. It makes your booking simpler. It makes your sales call simpler. It makes your delivery and your ability to help your clients have success simple as well. Because when you're focused on one thing and you have a deliverable that you can actually fulfill for your clients and help them achieve, depending on, you know, what your offer is, man, it makes everything simpler. So the crazy thing is that our social proof and our customer success skyrocketed when we doubled down on one offer. That was also one of the fascinating things. We elevated, but our clients also elevated big time. So when we're on a call, a sales call, I'll kind of touch on that. We just use a really simple sales script, which kind of takes the pressure off, you know, because we're not trying to razzle dazzle on every call. It's just, we've got a really simple talk track that's focused on their pain points, our offer, and how we can help them be our next success story, which kind of goes back to that clarity and simplicity thing, you know, versus trying to dabble in all this different stuff. We just really said, let's dominate one offer, you know, and so on. So, you know, that's it.
So who's your niche? Who are you guys going after for that $2,000 to $5,000 price point?
Yeah. So, real estate agents, loan officers, is one business. And then Moneyline Workshop is really anyone trying to build a client-based service business, agency owners, consultants, coaches. If you provide any level of done with you or done for you service, and that goes for anybody out there listening, like it could be a limousine service, it could be a life coach, it could be just about any vertical needs some kind of done for you service, which is something I skipped over a while ago. Like if you're out there listening and you need traction, create a done for you service. It's the easiest thing to sell on the planet. And we didn't do that at first. And that's why our global conversion percentage was so low, but we had profit margins built in so that when we did close the deal, it was a massive cash injection. And now we have a little bit of both worlds. And the thing that flies off the shelf is our done for you service. And it is just, once you, like Sam said, once you have a script, you got to be loyal to the script and not get emotional about your conversations and try to tailor everything. You got to control the conversation and keep everybody in a world of, in your world, or they'll take you down what's wrong with mom and them, and they'll take you down the victim trail, and they'll, you know, all that. But if you can maintain control, it's really kind of like A-B split testing with the ClickFunnels lander. It's like this script versus this script, but I've got to be loyal to these scripts or you'll never know what really works.
I love that. So what does your guys offer for the $2,000 to $5,000? What do they get?
They get a training element, ongoing training elements to help them acquire certain skills. They get ongoing support and coaching. We provide them with a software element, and depending on where they enter in their with their investment, they might get a few other things, like maybe we might help them launch some campaigns, you know, done with you type. It is very much a done with you program. The high ticket, quote unquote, depending on where your price point is, and maybe your vertical can withstand a $10,000 middle of the value ladder offer, you know, like a dentist or a ophthalmologist is going to be able to pay more than, you know, maybe someone who owns a garage door repair business. It's just because their average customer values are higher, which I guess now that I'm thinking out loud, if you're trying to determine your price points, look at your potential customer avatar's average customer value, because if they're a plastic surgeon averaging $8,000 a procedure, they're able to pay you more per lead or per deliverable than maybe someone who has $100 or $200, like a locksmith.
Oh, I totally agree. I had that conversation with my son, Chandler, the other day. We were talking about, you know, he's kind of going through the same type of thing, building out this agency model. And, you know, you have to kind of pick whoever your avatar is going to be and realize whoever you pick, they have certain numbers that they just, it's ROI for them. I mean, it's like, they know I can only spend X to acquire a customer. And I think the biggest mistake a lot of agency owners make is they don't know who their customer is. They don't know what those metrics are for that customer. And it's very hard to price your services if you don't know what your client basically, what their metrics are as well. So I really appreciate you hitting on that, Josh.
Yeah. I'll say something else too, Dave, that I think Josh just said that, you know, brought a lot of stuff to my brain here. I think another sort of key for us was when we figured out this progression from do-it-yourself customer to we'll do it with you customer to we'll do it for you customer. And I think a lot of times people aren't thinking, you know, entrepreneurs aren't thinking about those three different types of delivering your value to the customer. And one of the things we learned from Russell actually was, you know, you can deliver the same thing or similar value pieces in different experiences, different theaters. Some people like to do it themselves and get their logins and go on their merry way. Other people really like to like have a coach alongside with them, so you're actually doing the deliverable with them. And then other people like it when you just do it for them, when you build the funnel for them or whatever, right? And we've sort of evolved our offer over the years now, where like we see a trend with our clientele, even, you know, across all of our verticals, doing it with them is extremely valuable, you know, versus there's a lot of courses out there, and courses are great, and they're for the right person, sometimes they're a fantastic fit. But we really pivoted our offer from here's your logins, good luck, to hey, we're going to do it with you and almost as much as we can guarantee your success and your experience with the program, which in turn has fed our social proof dramatically, right? Sure. Like as we've invested more in their success, they're invested more in our success. So it's pretty interesting in terms of the high ticket game.
So tell me guys, how have you guys been able to avoid scope creep in a done for you or done with you type of program? Because I know, especially in the agency model, scope creep is one of the hardest things. Because you want to over deliver, but at the same time, you're going, man, I should have sold a $97 price point and just walked away.
Yeah. Well, first of all, to say we perfectly have would be a lie. We are entrepreneurs after all, and there's a hallway full of doors and they all say opportunity on them. And
right.
Sam and I are salesmen as well. And we love persuasion and we love just getting the validation of a sale. And so we've had to slap our own wrists. But at the same time, it's not necessarily, I think it's a forgivable sin too, to have scope creep. But at some point you definitely have to make a decision and come to level 5 agreement together and go, you know what? We cannot do the custom video branding element for every customer, but we can do this Google AdWords campaign for everybody because it works for everybody. And we don't have to spend 5 hours on that as opposed to the custom video, you know, et cetera, whatever the illustrations are out there. And so you avoid scope creep by being loyal to your metrics that matter to the growth of your business and the results of the client. A lot of times, if you have an emotional connection or some aspiration that you want, that can get in the way of what actually matters in the true business, because the money is agnostic. It doesn't care about what Josh thinks about a particular product. It just wants to know where it needs to travel to get the most value in return.
Yeah, I think you've got to reverse engineer kind of your goals a little bit. So, you know, if you're looking for a lifestyle business that's more about, you know, larger cash injections and you don't want staff and employees and all that stuff, then, you know, you want to limit your scope as much as possible. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to fulfill it. You'll always be living in that, you know, that kind of never ending treadmill. You know, Josh and I have grown and we've got almost 20 full-time employees now. I mean, we first started, we didn't have plans to have any employees. It's just us, you know? So it's kind of funny. Like, wow, we have a big team. But that's because, you know, we defined our scope and we also said, all right, let's think more like business owners and less like just a funnel guy, right, for a time. And let's actually build out a staff that can fulfill the scope, you know, at scale. And all that stuff's important because you don't always think out ahead. You always think maybe you're just going to deliver it. You're going to deliver it. But eventually you're just going to reach your limit and your ceiling, you know. And until you're willing to scale out and acquire non-funnel building skills, more just business growth skills, sales skills, marketing, hiring, all that stuff. Sometimes that's the key to taking your funnel to the next level. Ironically, it's not as much about opt-in rates and conversion rates as it is stuff like people, you know?
Yes. No, I totally agree. I think especially when you're trying to scale, that people element becomes really huge for you.
Oh, yeah.
So guys, tell me, when you start taking a look, I love some of the main things you guys have hit on. The fact is, you really have to start thinking more as a business owner instead of just, I'm going to run an agency or I'm going to try this internet marketing game. First of all, started thinking as a business owner, super amazing things happen because now all of a sudden you start paying attention to the metrics. You start knowing your numbers. When you start, again, you were kind of like $15 to $45 per customer lead or booking. How many calls or bookings do you need before you actually close one? What are some of the numbers you guys have currently?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think we'll see anywhere from, and some of it's fluctuated based on our sales staff, right? So, I mean, we have a full sales staff taking calls all day long, all over the country. So, you know, on a typical sales day right now, we'll see anywhere from 4 to 8 transactions come through in a day on, you know, 40 to 60 calls. Some of that can fluctuate with the market too, depending on the sort of, you know, what's, because our business has some seasonality to it. But you've got
to, I mean, you got a 10% close rate then.
Yeah. And that's like, really an interesting question. And I actually had to pause because, and Sam hit on it, but there becomes, when you start to scale, at least there becomes these pressure valves that you've got to control. It's like the lock in the dam and the water, like releasing a very precise amount of water. So we actually burn a lot of leads. Like some of our leads are just like those bananas that you don't get to eat on the counter, like bruising and rotting. And like, I actually told someone this today, like someone gave them bad advice. I was talking to a young marketer in training and they were like, yeah, somebody told me I don't need to go generate so many leads yet because I'm going to get overwhelmed with the work. And I was like, dude, that's why you're stuck. You need the rotting bananas on the counter or you're not going to have enough food to eat. And that was a big part of what we do. And so now it's actually really kind of scientific. Like we know how many leads generally in a 7-day period that each of our sales team members need in order to hit their quota. And that's been a fun process that we've taken on. But yeah, we'll scale and ebb and flow based on availability of our sales team, and because they become our conversion apparatus, right?
Oh, sure. So when did you guys start bringing on sales guys? Because at first it was just the two of you guys taking the sales calls, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. A lot of sales calls.
Yeah. I think it was the moment when this is a great question because a lot of people are going to try to either delegate too early or not delegate ever. And if there's a moment when it's working so well and you've got a repeatable unit, like you've got a repeatable funnel and it's predictable, and you're saying things like, hey, do you want to take the next sales call? That's when you know I probably should you know, get the script out of my brain, put it on a Google Doc, hire someone, put them on a good commission rate, and let's let them, you know, win for us, and let's get them up to 80% efficiency as fast as possible and binge that out while your business partner or somebody else, or while you still are crushing deals until you get that person up to speed. And then you do it, and don't hire too many salespeople at the same time. That's another thing. That's a mistake we've made, because what happens is you start to segment your lead flow into weakness, and none of the salespeople can get enough problem-based learning under their belt fast enough. And then all of your conversion rates go down, your revenue goes down, and you're just like, what? We hired 5 new salespeople. They should be 5X-ing our sales. But it actually has the exact opposite effect, because the salespeople need time, and you need time with your script to get vested and grafted into the system.
Oh, it's such great advice. So tell me, when you're looking at your sales guys, how do you typically pay as far as commission? Do you have a salary plus commission? Do you pay just commission? How much commission do you guys pay?
Sam?
Yeah, great question. So for most of our sales staff, it's 100% commission. And our commission rates, actually kind of going back to your metrics and your economics, depend on what they're selling. So with high ticket, you know, offers, which in our niche, our price point is more high ticket, you know, they get a larger cut, can be anywhere from, you know, 12 to 18% per enrollment. But when you're selling a recurring service, an agency model, your margins are less, because typically the monthly value is less, even though the total contract value might be the same, you're not getting all that value up front, right? So your compensation model is a little bit different. So for some of our sales staff, they're really in the portfolio building game. And we have salespeople that have 75 accounts they get paid on every month. It's crazy. It's awesome. You know? Yeah. It's one of the reasons we started our company, so we could provide opportunity like that. So they're stacking, right, accounts, recurring accounts. And then others are really going after that, you know, that big sale. They want to get that big commission right there and then. So you've got to really drive your commissionable component based on your end game, you know? Otherwise, you're just kind of shooting in the dark.
Yeah. And I would say that commission rates can increase or decrease based on whether or not your sales staff has to generate a quota of leads. So our sales staff typically doesn't. They wake up every morning and they're booked, and they just get to pick up the phone and not worry about where that person came from in the funnel. They have an application in front of them and they magically appear on their calendar. But if you have a sales team that has to prospect and it has to work shake trees, then they usually deserve and earn or warrant a little bit more of a piece of the pie.
So is your sale, is it a one-time close, or is it a setter and a closer type of thing?
It's a one-time close. Yeah. About 90% of all of our sales are on the very first call, which is great.
Give Dave the follow-up close percentage and how interesting that is.
Yeah, well, follow-up close percentage is going to be anywhere from 5 to 8%. Some months it's even less. But some of that goes back to your avatar, right? Like if you're selling to a business owner, you've probably got more contracting, more follow-up, more questions. If you sell to a consumer, like, and I'd say that's one of our things in Rhodes, like we found that you really need to figure out who is your avatar, what is their pain, what do they need, what do they want, what's their life like, what's their industry like. And we found that in our industry, we tend to sell more to consumers than we do to business owners. Don't get me wrong. We talk to, you know, different clients that have big teams and big businesses, but the lion's share of the industry is the solo point person, right? So it's more like selling to a consumer. And so that influences the way that we sell to them, because they don't think in terms of like budgets and metrics and business capital like we do, right? Which is fine. They just think a little bit differently. So then we position our sale as, if you're going to do it, let's do it, you know? And so our entire funnel is shaped around that sales call, that strategy call. So that, and that's what makes it work.
Yep. Sam, I love that. I think that's the biggest mistake so many agencies struggle with when they first get going, is if you're going to sell to the solopreneur, you are really selling more B2C than you are B2B. And it's totally changes the funnel. It changes the scripts. It changes everything. And I think I see a lot of agencies get frustrated when they try to go in after this, you know, this large B2B type of business model, and you're like, wait a second, I've got a gatekeeper, and then I've got three people on the board who want to make a decision, and they try elephant hunting here instead of just going after these. There's so many other people out there who have a ton of pain, who are in the solopreneur, you know, six figures to seven figures, who are have good businesses, but they're out there. They have to, again, Josh, I think you made mention of it earlier. These are the people who have to go out and kill something every single day so they can feed their own families. And I think that's such an easier and a better business model, especially as an agency owner, when you're going after it, to really close down that sales cycle. Because otherwise, as an agency, again, all of a sudden you've got this follow-up sequence and you're like, geez, I'm in this thing 3 months. And all of a sudden you find yourself like a pharmaceutical salesperson trying to close large x-ray machine or CAT scan
type. Totally. Yes.
That's right. I think that and that keeps everything, you know, streamlined with your sales and your funnel. Like when we say ours is simple, we mean that people go from Facebook ad to client in 24 to 48 hours.
Yes.
Dude, that's so fast, Sam. That is so fast.
Yeah. So there's no like elaborate follow-up sequences and webinars and email lists that lead to email lists that lead to email lists. I mean, all that stuff's fine. I'm just saying that for us simple Southerners, it doesn't have to be
complex. Hey, Dave, we got to keep it country simple, man. And for all the funnel hackers listening to this, like the on a big conceptual level, like keep your sales cycle short because you need that cash if you're not taking VC capital from somewhere. Like this whole ClickFunnels motto is real. Like if you're going to do that, you got to make sure. Don't let the prospects and the leads linger. Go give them a call to action. Give them that deadline. Give them that takeaway, whatever you need to do. I'm not saying obviously sell them snake oil. I'm just saying make sure they know that they need that the best thing they can do is purchase your product or service in order for them to reach their goals. Don't tell them that later. Tell them that now and make sure they take you up on it.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Well, guys, I thank you so much for all the value you provided to our audience.
Thank you.
So how do people get more of you guys?
I think the best way, if you're listening to this and you just want kind of like a free walkthrough of our business model and kind of get in our brains a little bit more about what we do and what we do at Moneyline Workshop, you can go to moneylineworkshop.com/free. Everybody loves free. And opt in there. We'll walk you through a short video training and kind of show you the skeletal structure of what we've done with a few of our businesses and how we can help you from that point. And if you want to book a phone call with us and maybe join us for our workshop, we will more than welcome you on a call and see if it's a good fit for you.
Absolutely.
Again, guys, I think it's awesome. I appreciate your providing that value to people. So check out moneylineworkshop.com/free. Yep. Again, if nothing else, kind of go through and funnel hack what they're doing. I think your business model, guys, is awesome. Two Comma Club Award winners, crushing it and doing it in multiple industries, which to me is, it's one thing to do it in one, and then you can take that same skill set and just start layering industry after industry like you guys have done. And it's great for me to see. So I appreciate your example, appreciate what you guys are doing, and thanks so much for all the value you provide.
Thank you. Thanks for the ecosystem you guys have set up as well.
Yeah.
Well, sounds great. Well, we look forward to seeing you at Funnel Hacking Live. And those of you guys who are listening to this, you're probably after Funnel Hacking Live. But if not, please check take a look at moneylineworkshop.com/free. Thanks, guys.
See you, Dave.
Hey, everyone, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I can tell you the things I love more than anything else, aside from listening to podcasts, is reading books. One of my favorite books was the very first book that Russell wrote. It's called Dotcom Secrets. It's the underground playbook for growing your company online. So if you've already got a business or an idea and you got something you want to get going right away, go ahead, check it out. We literally will give you the book for free. You just pay the $7.95 shipping and handling. Just go to dotcomsecrets.com. And we'll go ahead, we'll ship you out the book. You just pay $7.95 shipping and handling, and the book will be on its way to you. Thanks again so much for listening. And remember, you're just one funnel away.